Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Down here, but the people are all very friendly, and so I'm gonna enjoy a little time away. I got my work done this morning. Looking forward to finishing up preseason tomorrow night.
All right, my man. Good luck.
All right, guys. Take care.
That is Eric Hastein of Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We got a bit of an update on our boy James Franklin. We'll talk about that and more. Also, Jason Smith coming up during hour number two. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Coming up at the bottom part of the hour, Jason Smith's going to join the program. But before we do any of that, let's get into the list. James Franklin. Yeah, according to Bill Hoffmeyer of ESPN, ESPN's College Game Day will be on site in Athens for Saturday's Ole Miss-Georgia Top 10 SEC Showdown. James Franklin will join the show for an exclusive interview. Other special guests include Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, and Diego Pavia. So we will get the first public comments for James Franklin from James Franklin on game day tomorrow. Okay, Cobb, here's a couple of things that interest me. Number one, do we think Franklin is still motivated to get a job this cycle? I think we both agree he's going to take another job at some point. I think the question is it this cycle?
Well, potentially only because of the quality and caliber of jobs that might be available, due in part to the fact that Penn State fired him, right? Like, what sort of dominoes could that ultimately set off? Could there end up being a trade of sorts where Penn State fires James Franklin, hires another coach, and then James Franklin goes to the school that, you know, hired his successor? Wouldn't rule that out. I also think James Franklin could be really good at media. I think he could be awesome on the desk for ESPN.
I actually think there's a couple of things here. Number one, I think it depends on how motivated is he to immediately stick it to Penn State. Because if you want to really kind of stick it to him, you take the media job, right? Because even if you're good at it, it still doesn't pay anywhere near the coach's salary. And so you're going to have whatever job you get, Penn State's got to pay the difference.
Yep.
So I think he would be good at a job that is I think he kind of needs the underdog thing, don't you?
I agree. I mean, you think about what he did at Vandy, elevating a historically dormant program.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you know where I think he'd do a pretty good job? I think he'd do a pretty good job at Auburn.
Oh,
well, the Maryland one is funny because of the Locksley history. Like, if he wanted to maybe dance on two graves at the same time, come back and take Mike Locksley's, keep Malik Washington, take Mike Locksley's job, and then I guess could finally say I won the war between the two of them. But I think he would do a pretty good job at Wisconsin. And to your trade idea,
James Franklin,
if Rule goes to, of course, what would be interesting about this? I kind of believe the Adidas wanted Franklin out stuff. Do you? Is that just me wanting to believe? I kind of believe it.
I bet there's some truth to that.
Yeah. I'm not saying Adidas was the one that said get him out of here, but I believe that. So I do think it would be funny if Rule went from Nebraska to Penn State, and then they did your trade that you're talking about, and then Franklin winds up at an Adidas school.
Yeah, it would be. And I could. That was kind of what I was alluding to. It fresh start for everyone, right? I could see it. I know, James Franklin's got a lot to give.
You think we're going to start getting some trades? Like some, hey, everybody's like a little unhappy, but like I don't think he's a bad coach. I don't personally love him. But I agree with you that he's super charismatic. I think it would be great TV. But I also think he's a pretty good football coach.
Yeah. Can you imagine Franklin and McAfee? I mean, together?
I would like to see the content.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, they could legitimately get into some,
now. The
like,
problem, though, is
arguments.
It's kind of like the reason why I think Saban is very good on TV. A, if you ever watched the rare year where his team wasn't in the playoff, and he always did the desk for the championship games, he was always very good at it. But I also think part of it for him now is he's not trying to get another gig, and so the guys that I always think are the most boring are the guys that, you know, have personality, but because they're trying to do the image rehab, like they're using media to rehabilitate their image more than they are to entertain us. If you tell me Franklin is doing image rehab, then I'm less interested. But if it's just James Franklin trying to entertain us all, like, I think he's very good at it.
Yeah, no doubt. I think he'll be one of the top candidates on the market. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Like, he's got a 2-decade-long proven track record at Vanderbilt and Penn State. So he's going to get calls for a lot of jobs, except for Indiana, which will not be coming open because Kurt Cignetti just agreed to a pretty significant contract extension.
So Kurt Cignetti, according to Brett McMurphy, was it 8 years? Yes.
8 years at 11.6, which would make him the third highest paid coach in college football.
Yeah, Kurt Cignetti, this is from Brett McMurphy. Indiana and Kurt Cignetti agreed to a new 8-year, $11.6 million per year deal through November 30th, 2023. Sorry, Penn State, Florida, et cetera, et cetera. So 11.3, according to Berkowitz's USA Today, that makes him the fifth highest paid. He would be behind, 11.6, was it?
Yeah. Which would put him ahead of Lincoln Riley.
Ahead of Lincoln. By the way, how did Burko get Lincoln Riley? I thought USC's like notoriously private, and since they're a private school, they don't have to do it.
I don't know. But more and more of these salaries are going to be harder to uncover because so many of the athletic departments are basically becoming third-party entities instead of actual arms of the university.
Yeah, I still think the agents want it out there.
It's true.
I think you might get less accurate numbers. What I'm actually interested in, Do we think the buyouts are going to change? Because what everyone has to remember, because we're going to hear some insane buyouts because it all basically rolls back to two different moves. Lincoln going to USC because Franklin used that USC opening to get the big contract, the contract that he just got released from Penn State. That had the huge buyout, and then Saban's retirement got everybody raises.
What I'm curious is what I call like the Joey McGuire coaching model, where he's the head coach at Texas Tech. He's like the 10th most important person in that organization. You're not hearing Joey McGuire's name mentioned for a single opening right now, even though he's leading an undefeated top 10 football program in America. He's the 51st highest paid coach in the country, and he's got a buyout of roughly $10 million. Well, why does that work? Because even though you have a low profile head coach, you have a lot of spending, a lot of personnel, staffers, and GM types who can, you know, put together the roster, and you just got to have somebody who can go and keep it all on the rails. So, do we move more towards that model, right? Because clearly it's working for Texas Tech, and that's kind of the NFL model where, like, sure, like the head coach is important, but your quarterback is important, your left tackle is important, your top two edge rushers are all probably more important than, and your GM are probably all more important, really, than your head coach.
No, in the NFL model, so like, I think, is Sean Payton the highest paid? I think he is right now. Or maybe it's Andy Reid. All right, let me see. Highest paid NFL coaches. Okay, so Andy Reid makes $20 million a year. how many guys? Let's see. Let's go to Spotrac. I'm going to bet there's 15 guys that make more than $20 million on the $20 million per year on the roster.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see team rankings. Cap Tracker. Okay, Kansas City. Where is KC? Wow, they're okay. In terms of, all right, let's look at their active roster. All right, and it's not as many as I thought.
Yeah, but you're also picking the highest paid NFL coach. Like, I'm not saying that, like,
yeah,
there isn't value in having the rock star coach. Like, I don't mean to diminish the importance of the position, but by and large, like, is it worth anymore having that guy be the highest paid individual in your organization? Or could we get to a point in college football where,
well, I mean, to your point, I
your
think,
quarterback's higher paid than your head coach.
Well, and like, that's, I keep waiting to your original point, because I think this is a good one. I think there's going to be need to be some programs that are going to rethink the model, because, like, again, I have no way. I understand there's other business decisions that go into this. Like, part of it is you need the big name, because the big name brings in money and that gets boosters excited. Right. That gets everybody excited. Like, I understand there's a business side of this. But to your point, what if Texas Tech has come up with a model? Hey, we've got a good coach. I think there's probably 50 coaches in America that could do that job. But what we're going to really spend on is the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep waiting for someone else to try it. And maybe you needed the guinea pig, and maybe Tech is the guinea pig. Now, Tech is also a bit of an asterisk, because how many other programs just have a billionaire that played for the team and wants to see his team win? Like, there's basically one other example, and it's not even a player, but it's just Mario at Miami, where he's got John Ruiz. It's been his best friend since sixth grade, and he's a billionaire from crypto, and he's basically like, I want to bring the U back, and I want my buddy to do it. So there's not a ton of schools out there that can do it, but I keep waiting for the school that's going to sit there and go, let's put more into the roster than we are a 100-member coaching staff, support staff, and whatnot. But I don't know. It feels like everyone's kind of still risk averse to that.
Yeah. So because of what you said, basically, where it's like you have to hire the big name coach to excite the boosters to generate the donations. If we could ever kind of eradicate that mindset, then the Texas Tech model makes a lot of sense. Texas Tech is unique because, as you mentioned, it's all funded by a billionaire booster. So he doesn't care who the head coach is. He's going to fund the roster. It doesn't matter who the head coach is if you have that much talent. Joey McGuire is doing a great job. Like, he should get a raise. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a raise, but he's not going to get hired by an SEC school. He's not the reason why they're having success. And so it'll take a while, but you might see other adopters of that mindset.
I mean, I guess Indiana's, in fairness, I think Matt Hayes is a good reporter, and I think Matt lives in Gainesville, right? I think that's right.
Yeah, right.
I think he lives in Gainesville. So his story this week, I mean, the reason why everyone thinks Billy Napier is getting fired is because Matt's basically reporting it's done. But included in the story was, last year, the same people that are saying we're withholding the money right now until he's gone are the same people that raised the money to fire him last year, and Strickland was able to convince them, let's keep him for one more year, and let's take the money that you want to use to fire him, and let's go and spend it on the roster. Now, it hasn't quite worked out.
Well, because you still have to have a competent coach, and Billy Napier is not competent. Like, so, Texas A&M, good example. Mike Elko, according to this database, the number 32 paid coach in America. Texas A&M could pay him as much as they wanted to. I mean, for crying out loud, they paid Jimbo Fisher $70 million to go away.
To not coach.
Yeah, right. So Texas A&M is sitting here undefeated with the 32nd highest paid coach in America. That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's like, he's just a competent coach. Billy Napier is an incompetent coach.
I mean, how many?
But if you just get a competent coach, it doesn't matter if he's, you know, top celebrity, you know, if he can just do the job, right?
Yeah, I also keep wondering, maybe the new model going forward is you'll pay more per year, but have shorter deals.
Yeah, with a less cumbersome buyout.
Because it's never really, to your point, like, it's never the first contract that gets you. It's the second contract. But I do wonder if you'll start to see more of these guys get like NFL type deals, like 3 years. Maybe it's higher per year at like $15 million. But the schools don't necessarily worry about the $45 million. It's the dead money that you're paying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of an interesting one, because this is the other thing that like we were talking about. Like, someone just, I got to think, if Kurt Cignetti had put the feelers out there, any of these openings he could have had. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And we did just see somebody, and granted, he's a little bit older, he's 64, but we just saw somebody that said, I'd rather have the Indiana job than any of these openings.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's like it's the Big Ten equivalent of Lane Kiffin being like, nah, I'm happy at Ole Miss. Except probably even to a greater degree. Like, Indiana has significantly less football history than Ole Miss.
I mean, Indiana has less football history, but I mean, I think there's this real question of like I mentioned this to Tim Murray the other day, using your Texas Tech example. I understand Texas Tech is also like promoting and publicizing it about how much they've spent on the roster, because I think fundamentally their view is wherever this world is headed, we have to show that we spend in football to make ourselves an attractive possibility of whatever the breakaway is or whatnot. Like, we have to be a player in that. So I understand there's some of that going on. But this idea that Indiana is like just doing it because a coach is good is also insane to me. Like, Georgia wanted Fernando Mendoza too, and he went to Indiana. So they're clearly spending money. But like, that never really becomes a part of the story. It's weird how there's some people that we want to still mythologize the coach and then not talk about the business side of it.
Yeah, without a budget to spend on the roster, Indiana still. But at the same time, like, clearly Kurt Cignetti was overlooked for a long time. Like, this guy had no business being in the lower rungs of college football until his 60s. And I will say, like, he uses some really good hair dye. Like, if there wasn't such a thing as Wikipedia, we would never know that Kurt Cignetti was 64. You just line up a bunch of college football coaches side by side and be like, all right, how old are all these folks? You're looking at Kurt Cignetti and you're like, 53. That, you know, like, I mean, he acts like a young man.
He has that hair dye job though. That, yeah, it doesn't show gray. But there's no.
It's not as bad as Saban's, though, where you can just clearly tell.
Well, like, that was my favorite part about Labor Day, was seeing all the TV people that had just gotten fresh hair dye jobs. Like, Saban's, yep, is like, none of them have hair dye that is a color found in nature. It's this, like, you know what I mean? Like, nobody has that actual hair color that they do, but we somehow let it, like, roll for, like, it's the Dr. Pepper color. Like, no one really knows what it is, but, like, it, you don't see gray. Like, it is where I give Coach K credit. Like, at least when he dyed it, even though he lied about it, like, people do have black hair.
Yeah, Bill Self, you can definitely tell.
Well, according to my dad, who's follically challenged, he's like one of the greatest. He thinks it's plugs.
Oh, okay.
Because forever people used to think rug, but my dad was like, no, 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 you got to look at the seam. He's like, nah, he's plugged it up.
Well, at some point, you just got to go the DJ Durkin route and just be like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going with the full-on white hair. Who's the guy from Mad Men? Don? No, not Don, but his sidekick.
Sterling.
Yeah.
Roger,
yeah.
Sterling. What's his? Not John Hamm. What's the actor's name?
It looks great.
He's married to Clooney's first wife.
Yeah. It's Roger Sterling as the character, but yeah. Oh,
why am I blanking
John
on the
Slattery.
Yes,
John Slattery.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
yeah, you know, but he, you know, just let it go, embrace it. Like, that's
like Mac Brown dyed his hair forever for the same reason you're talking about.
Well, I just can't imagine it helps you that much in recruiting. It just looks silly on TV.
Well, like, I do wonder though. I agree with you that it doesn't matter in recruiting, because, like, let's be real, this is the most transactional era. But like, I think Dan Campbell had to cut his hair to be taken seriously by the NFL. Remember, Dan Campbell had the like, look up, Dan Campbell had, like, he literally, I know he is a Metallica fan, but, like, he looked like a stereotype of what you would see at a Metallica concert.
Yeah, but then you got Kirby Smart, who's like had the same bowl cut for the last 50 years of his life.
It's a great haircut.
I mean, what is that?
Frat swoop. Listen, it's a solid haircut. Like, it's timeless.
It just screams like Deep South.
It doesn't help that he wears the frat visor with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, that's the other thing I keep thinking about. It's like, who are the names for Arkansas? Like, I know everyone's focused on Lashley.
Yeah. Oh, I think they could go with the retread route. Like, it's only a matter of time before one of these openings just pulls from left field, like a Jimbo or a Gruden, or just, I mean, heck, how long until the Urban Meyer rumor mill kicks up again? I mean,
was it Sports Illustrated? George, look it up. I think Sports Illustrated tried to, I want to say there was maybe loose reports for Penn State.
Sure. I mean, that's going to happen. I wouldn't be shocked if Arkansas won a retread.
Gruden, I don't even know if they're going to be groomers. He's like actively said he wants a gig. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because if you're Arkansas, like realistically, if Lashley says no and you don't go the retread route, it's either Petrino or it's hopefully one of these good G5 coaches is going to jump at us instead of waiting around, because there's going to be other better jobs. Like, I don't think it's a slam dunk that Arkansas, oh, yeah, we could pull John Sumrall. Maybe. I mean, there might be a better job. Same deal with Alex Golesh. Same deal with Ryan Silverfield, who, you know, may not be looking to jump at all. Like, you know, I mean, if you're one of those guys, Arkansas calls you, you say, okay, well, you know, let me get back to you because I might have other better opportunities.
I'm not saying he's getting the gig. I do not buy that Rhett Lashley has as much of a decision as it's getting made to be. I think if Arkansas offers, I think he has to take it. I think there's too much uncertainty in the ACC. And yes, he had play. If last year's model were the example, yes, he probably had a better shot of making the playoff from SMU than he does Arkansas. But I think what we're about to find out in 3 weeks is that access was a one-year thing. And the ACC, more times than not, is going to be a one-bid league.
Yeah. You know, my question would just be, yeah, can you perennially at SMU keep up with Miami, Florida State, Clemson, Virginia Tech's about to start spending pretty big in football, you know? So is it, I mean, I thought, no, well, don't get me wrong.
You may know the answer to this, because I don't. I asked the question last week, maybe it was to you. How does revenue sharing work at SMU if they're not taking revenue?
Exactly right. Like, it's just, we got a bunch of rich people around here.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, okay, I don't think it's going to hold up in court, but what if we go to the model that the schools all want, which is the 22% or whatever, the $22 million of the revenue? If you're not making any television revenue, what revenue are they? Are we just saying that they get to spend up to the same amount? Like, even if they're self-funding it, they get to spend that?
Yeah, well, donations still count as revenue.
But
right?
I mean, do they? I thought it was all the. I thought it's of the league revenue, of the
well,
school.
Well, that's I guess the understanding of like where it's coming from. Oh, the TV rights are funding all this, right? But isn't it? I mean, isn't it overall revenue?
I mean, it seems obvious that SMU is not having a problem, but I don't know. Like, that's the other thing. Did you see Mark's tweet from earlier? All right, where was it? It's such an internet thing. All right, this is from Donald G. Hubbard. He's a alumni of VPI, class of 83, Blacksburg, born and raised. He's a patriot, a vintage car lover, God, family, country. Sirens. He went full Chip Patterson. You see those sirens in your feed, you know exactly what that means. Breaking news for my Hokie fam. Last week, my oldest son was at 622 North with his girlfriend. In the restaurant, he spotted Mark Stoops out to dinner with John Baleen. He was, I cannot remember how you say the guy's last name, but I'll tell you who he is. He was Frank's right-hand man. Like it would be like a chief of staff, but we don't call it that in college football. You know what I mean?
So you're trying to send Mark Stoops to Virginia Tech?
It's also worth noting Kentucky was on the bye week last week. When there's smoke, there's fire. And then Mark quote tweeted, "When I covered Virginia Tech long ago, a birdie told me that then VCU coach Shaka Smart had dinner at 622 North when Vitek was replacing Seth Greenberg. A waiter even swore to me Shaka had been there. Virginia Tech hired James Johnson, and Shaka looked at me like I was crazy when I asked him about it."
This reminds me of when John Gruden was spotted at Calhoun's in Knoxville. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. And then also, wasn't there somebody swearing that John was calling staff people?
Calipari?
No, that Gruden was calling people.
Oh, no, Jeffrey. That was true. No, that was true. John Gruden, he was calling potential hires to gauge their interest. This was the first time around. Second time around, I don't know. First time around, yeah, he was calling potential staff members to gauge their interest in, you know, if he took the Tennessee job, would you want to come? I know that for a fact. I know that for a fact firsthand.
You know what's also interesting to me? I don't love him on game day. I don't have as much of the Dan Lanning gene that everybody else does. It is interesting to me that nobody's willing to try it. Dan had not been a head coach. I mean, weren't there...
So in that sense, who are you advocating for then?
Like, why is like nobody doing the, hey, like, let's find the elite coordinator?
Yeah. I mean, who are they though? I mean, that's kind of like the million-dollar question.
The rumor that I'd heard that I laughed at was if North Carolina pulled the plug on Belichick, they were going to hire Charlie Weiss Jr. And just the idea of the headline. And I'm not saying Charlie's not a good coach one way or the other, but the headline of Bill Belichick fired, Charlie Weiss replaces him. Like the idea of Charlie Weiss, basically his dad owing his entire career to Belichick and like getting how many contracts out of that. Like the fact that like that was a funny one to me. But I mean, I think Stein at Oregon is probably up there.
No doubt. No. He's one to watch. Matt Patricia's done an amazing job as Ohio State's defensive coordinator. Does he like college football? Would he be interested in a college football head coaching job? If so, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a big part of the Patriots dynasty, although that's not really working out very well for Bill Belichick and Bill O'Brien right now. But I mean,
how happy do you think Patricia is? He's not in Chapel Hill.
Oh my gosh. I mean, but he's doing amazing work as Ohio State's DC. So like, I would absolutely be fascinated to see, you know, if he gets into the conversation for an opening, because I mean he's not somebody who we talk. Oh, I'll give you another one. Ryan Grubb, man. I mean, look at what Ty Simpson's doing right now.
What about the K-State quarterback that's the A&M coordinator now?
Colin Klein.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've heard that name bandied about a whole bunch. Shannon Dawson is Miami offensive coordinator.
I think Dawson could be a hot one too.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you one more. Blake Baker, the LSU defensive coordinator. LSU's got a great defense. So, yeah, those guys could all be in the mix for an Arkansas, Kentucky, Virginia Tech. You know, Brian Hartline at Ohio State. You know, but those guys aren't getting the Penn State job. They're not getting the Florida job.
No, that's kind of why, like, it feels to me like the floor for Penn State is Rule. But, like, I almost wonder, it's like, are these, like, is there someone that you go, that's a slam dunk?
Jed Fish to Florida. I think that'd be a great hire.
I don't hate that.
Yep.
I think, I'm in the weird camp. I think Drinkwitz is a good coach.
Oh, he's just so insufferable, man.
Okay, but would
you imagine Todd Golden and Eli Drinkwitz on the same campus?
But I also think Drinkwitz is a little bit more of a chameleon. I think that plays with his fan base, but I think like he would be kind of like he could adapt. I'm not sure like that's his true personality. I do think his personality is a little bit of a troll, but I don't know if it's like this like aggressively like alpha nerd.
Oh, I mean, he just
Golden.
Screams like creepy. I'm just going to stop.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. It's not going to get us in trouble. But like, yeah, I mean, he has the look. Let's just say that. Like, I don't know about that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Jason Smith next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Jason Smith is the host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on X at JasonSmith929. Jason, are you in on my idea that instead of campaigning for the Tigers to get game day next week, we should start guilt tripping ESPN and say, oh, they don't want to come and support St. Jude. They want sick kids to die.
Oh, well, that's certainly a way you could go. Wow. A drastic measure,
yes.
I would almost say there, Jeffrey, willing to do whatever we have to
get City first.
Later. Not a bad plan there. I think it would be effective. I certainly do. See, I mean, look, imagine the headlines if ESPN said
exactly.
No, that would be bad optically for them. I think what we do is pull for Vandy. Right. I think we've got to pull for Vandy,
and I think we have to. I'll let everybody else do it. Y'all can pull for Auburn.
Pull for Auburn. We can do it. And then Fitzy.
I guess you could technically pull for Arkansas too.
Right. Jason Fitz was telling us, and because it was one thing we considered, I think Drew had brought us to the table with you on Monday. You know that North Dakota State, South Dakota State game that would be 1-2 in FCS. Yes, while game day has done it before. Fitzy was pointing out, and he's been privy to those discussions. He was on the game day crew back in 2019. Says, you know, while that's something, a box they like to check, that's never a trip that they like to make. And he was doubtful that would be, you know, would push to the side any of those SEC matchups, or it sounded like even, you know, a possible ranked matchup between Memphis and South Florida, which it would be if both teams win. So I was kind of encouraged by that. So I guess in a way I'm still holding out hope. I don't know, Jeffrey. I'll probably just stay there rather than go the route that you've suggested.
Yeah.
Although I can see that again being almost a no fail plan if you did it that way.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing is like I don't know if the campaigning it works. So let's just guilt trip them. Like let's get bad PR.
I wonder how much of this is, you know, there's other opportunities. Of course, those SEC atmospheres are always big, but, you know, the national perception of Memphis and Stephen A. Smith has certainly helped shape that at one point right there on their own air. you know, having the National Guard here. Your guy Cerrito has brought it up.
Yeah.
I've wondered if that's a factor. But, of course, we've had Ed Scott come out and say that they are, you know, under consideration and everything else. I certainly hope that would not be a deal breaker, you know, what they think is going on in Memphis right now because of the headlines. The fact is you do. You have the National Guard here. I would certainly my hope is that that's not part of it, but I'm not naive enough to think that maybe that isn't. And so I thought Cerrito was, you know, and those that have discussed that side of things, thought that maybe that's something that's, you know, possibly in the considerations as well. But listen, man, I mean, we're all operating business as usual around here, and I'm sure ESPN could come in and get the thing done. Thing is, it would obviously have to be different. We know with the 11 a.m. start, you can't have folks down on Beal like you did back in 2019. And here's the other thing, and I think this is where I'm the most discouraged on the idea that you'd have it, is that they've made it an ESPN or an ESPN2 game. And if it, you know, the idea, and of course, you're making an ESPN game, sure, okay, that's justified to have Kirk Herbstreit, the game day crew here. But if that's an ESPN2 game, and really just the possibility that it could be, I just wonder if that already might rule you out, although clearly it's not done because you've had people come on and say, yes, you're in consideration. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, it could be a total banger of a weekend in Memphis, though, because you would have Heat Grizzlies on Friday night.
Yep.
Then you would have obviously Memphis, South Florida. And then Monday, like 2 days after Memphis, South Florida, you got Arkansas coming to play in the Forum. So I would be hard pressed to imagine there's ever been a better run of days in Memphis sports than what that could potentially be. And honestly, it really doesn't even matter if game day comes or not. Like those, you know, Memphis and South Florida are still going to play, and that's still going to be an awesome run, you know, either way.
100%. I'm so glad you said that. And the other thing, too, and I'm glad you went there in terms of the event on Monday with Arkansas and with Memphis, because I mentioned on our show, I heard, and I know Jeffrey heard it because he was listening right there during Jeff's show. Chris Boyson from over at ALSAC, it mentioned, you know, what we talked about. I think I even had this discussion with you guys a week or two ago about trying to, you know, what you need to do to go ahead and try to pack that thing out. And we talked about, all right, start to try to name these players, right? The Cal's talked about the 35 or 40 of his 50-something, you know, coming back. We didn't have names. And quite frankly, let's just boil it down. The one that we want to hear the most is Derrick Rose. You know, yes, it'd be the CDR. Sure, you'd love to have that whole 07-08 team, but get Derrick Rose. And so that's what we've always – and to hear Chris Boyson said, look, dude, he wasn't talking to me, but you could hear it right there and telling Jeff. He is putting all of his efforts into trying to make it that, right? I mean, and again, this is not St. Jude's business. You know, what is he, vice president over there at ALSAC, realize what he does, some of it promotional, you know, some of it outside the box. But to try to be tracking down retired basketball players, he's talking about how hard it is to get in touch with D. Rose right now. He's tried through the Grizzlies. Now he's going back the Arkansas route, try to go back through Cal. But my point is they are doing everything they can to try to have that list of players, that reunion sort of, you know, have that 07-08, most of that squad back. He mentioned Antonio Anderson's already in. It sounded like several from that team. But my point is that I've been just so impressed by – it's one thing to see Cal out selling the event. Penny Hardaway's done it as well. But to see the lengths that St. Jude has gone to try to make this thing a success, you know, again, they could have bowed out after last year and said, you know what, this isn't our business. Like, we're not in the business of putting on events, especially sporting events like this. But I want to commend those folks again on Jeffrey's show for just the work they're putting in. Because, again, you know, that's an event that hopefully can become a regular season one. And if it doesn't happen this year, if you can't have a successful one here with this exhibition, which what feels like a perfect storm of characters involved, well, then I think, you know, it feels like St. Jude's going to bow out of this business. And maybe, you know, in the end, that's for the best. But you'd like to see it maximized. And I've certainly appreciated, grateful for the effort of the folks over at St. Jude trying to make, you know, do everything they can to make this thing a smashing success on Monday.
No, it's funny because when Chris was naming off the names,
it
just reminded me of, like, there was a meme that went, like, viral. I can't remember if it was last year, but it's, like, in the last couple of years, it was the guys can entertain themselves by just naming random athletes. It was, like, literally, that was, like, how I felt. It's, like, I'd not thought of Scooter McFadden in like, 20 years.
I know.
And I was like, it was just like a who's who of, like, let's see. I think Scooter was like the one that I was like, man, I've not thought of that name in forever.
Well, that one, and I realize he's been around here, especially recently. He's been back, Sean Williams.
Yeah,
and we had a chance to have him in studio. Unfortunately, I say unfortunately, we didn't get to spend the entire interview on Sean. And I would say we could have, because we haven't gotten a chance to talk to Sean really about his NBA career, about coming back to Memphis. You know, I think he still may reside full time in Atlanta. Maybe I'm not sure if he's got one foot in Memphis now, living here, living there. Either way, we hadn't gotten a chance to go back down memory lane with him. And so I heard Chris say his name, and you know, having Sean back, he was in studio as a part of the Tennessee Collegiate Academy group. He's out there helping train, you know, those high level student athletes out there. So again, we talked to him in that, you know, sort of out of that in that role. But back to your point, all those guys, whether it's Carney, whether it's Sean Williams, you know, all those guys have got, you know, their stories and those memories that you know, we haven't gotten the chance in a lot of those cases to go back down, you know, to go back down memory lane with them. And I think that's what really this event represents, is that chance you really haven't had, whether it's the 07-08 team specifically or just Cal's guys coming back because of that, you know, that Cal-Memphis relationship that now seems to be, you know, finally fully, firmly healed. And hopefully, man, it can be something special again, because you're going to have a lot of folks in there. My guess is maybe even teary-eyed, because a lot of these memories, like you said, with Scooter, you know, you haven't thought about some of these guys, some of these names in years, and the memories that'll come back when you do, and when you see them, they'll be good ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I think,
man, what are Kelly Wise and
he mentioned Kelly Wise was another one. I think Dewan's coming back, right? Didn't Chris say Dewan?
Dewan, and I want to say I heard Darius Washington.
Yeah, D Wash is definitely
back.
Yeah, he definitely said D Wash. Yeah.
D Wash, one of our favorites, obviously. We know the ending there with Louisville, what went on, and heck, there were plenty of Tigers fans crying for D Wash at that free throw line, right? So I mean, just all those guys. It feels like I don't want to make this sound like, and I probably have, that like this thing hinges on whether or not you're going to get D Rose. They're going to have what feels like a successful event, but you want to. It's a phrase that he's on. You don't want to leave anything on the table. And if you can get D Rose in the same way that he came back, you know, for Tony Allen's retirement, I mean, D Rose told stories, and no, I don't foresee all that, you know, as part of this event. But just having him back in the building, Chris Boysen talked about it, letting him get a chance for Memphis to let him have it with cheers, with flowers, with that adulation. You know, it's something that we've, whether it's for Derek, that whole 07-08 team, Cal in the middle of them all, it's something that team's long deserved, you know, and hopefully for the most, you know, maybe not to a single man, you know, every single one of them, but hopefully that can happen in some form come the 27th.
Jason, we really appreciate it, my man.
Y'all take care. Keep up the good work.
That is Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. Let's see. We could go with how are we feeling about Skip Bayless questioning the commitment of Travis Hunter because he got baptized on Sunday before the game.
Oh, God. I missed that.
Skip does remind us that, like, hey, kings stay kings.
Yeah. I wouldn't question Travis Hunter's commitment to literally anything.
I don't know if you're aware of when church is. It's usually on Sundays. Like, pretty sure also, yeah, they played on Monday, right? Or no. Who beat them? They lost to Seattle. That's Seattle Sunday. Whatever. All right, my man. Let's have a good weekend.
Hey, brother, I appreciate it. You have a good one as well.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
There's
search and inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.